Brother Pearl will now lead us in prayer.
Gracious Father in heaven, at the close of this feature of this afternoon service, we would thank Thee for the privilege of considering together some of those precious things which Thou hast caused to be written for our edification. We'd ask Thy blessing upon the words we spoke, and we'd further petition Thy blessing, Thy continued blessing, for their service. We'd ask a particular blessing upon our dear brother Loomis, as he, as thy mouthpiece, shall break the bread of life to us. And we pray that thou wouldst prepare our hearts and our minds for such a blessing as thou wouldst send through him. We ask in the name through the merit of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Head. Amen.
Now, Brother Ludlow Loomis of the New York Ecclesia will address us on the subject, Other Benefits. Brother Loomis.
Thank you, Brother Raffel. Among the benefits of our Heavenly Father toward us, they come to mind those listed in Acts 3:19-21, where the Apostle Peter tells us of the times of refreshing, which he said should come out from the face of the Lord. And he continues, he shall send Jesus Christ, him having been before heralded to you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Restitution is a blessing which the church of this age has given up to become the seed of promise mentioned in Galatians 3:8-16-29, with their Lord and Head, to bestow those blessings. And certainly that is a benefit, a privilege, to be a member of the class which is to bless all nations. Another one of these benefits mentioned in this passage is that of our Lord's return, the times of refreshing. And the word in this case is kairos, a more definite word than chronos, which is used in respect to the times of restitution. To realize that our Lord Jesus, as in the 12th chapter of Luke, has returned and caused us to sit down to meet and girded himself and come forth and is serving us. But someone says, where is the promise of his presence? People are still dying. We're not being restored to the perfection lost in Eden. How can we be experiencing, therefore, restitution, and if the heaven retained our Lord until restitution took place? Why do you say the Lord is present? Let's read the verse again. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. What was the difference? The Lord has fixed times and periods that are very exact, and certain works to be accomplished during those periods. They do not always begin at once, and they are not instantaneous in every instance, but progress to completion. And that is true in this instance. Take another example related to the times of restitution. That would be the demolition of the old order. In the second chapter of Daniel, that prophet was interpreting a dream of King Nebuchadnezzar's, in which he saw himself, and Daniel explained it, as the golden head of a great image. The prophet told him that after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. This was represented by the bust and arms of silver, and so on down to the feet. And then the king had dreamed of seeing a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. This is in the 45th verse, which smote the image upon its feet, demolishing it. It was broken to pieces and became as the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried it away, a gradual process again. Oh, I know tradition has told us that at our Lord's return, the earth would be burned up, his saints would be caught up into the air in their bodies of flesh, and Satan tied up, and the Lord would judge the world in 24 hours. But we don't believe that anymore. We realize that the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men is, as the Apostle Peter describes it, in the 7th and 8th verses of 2nd Epistle, 3rd chapter, 1,000 years in length. And again in the 10th verse, he tells us that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Jesus agreed with that when he was demanded of the Pharisees in the 17th chapter of Luke. When the kingdom of God should appear, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is among you. It was to be an invisible kingdom worldwide. Incidentally, we remark that the word translated kingdom in all these three instances in this passage is the same, basileia. And while it may refer to the king, the primary meaning is a kingdom, and it is so translated throughout the New Testament with one exception, where with the verb echo, it is rendered reign. The 15th verse of the 16th chapter of Revelation tells us, behold, I come as a thief. So the initial time of his presence was to be unobserved. But the Apostle Peter, coming back to the third chapter of the second epistle, 10th verse, continues, in the which the heaven shall pass away, the heaven shall pass away with a great hissing noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then he continues, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so, it has been fulfilled. The initial pictures of this thousand-year day of the Lord did not reveal his presence immediately, even to his followers. And Jesus, as in the 19th chapter of Luke, represented by the nobleman that had gone into the far country to receive a kingdom, returned after a long time, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. But this was succeeded by the great time of trouble, which broke 2,520 years, seven symbolic times, to the day following the overthrow of Jerusalem and its burning, and taking its people captive. In the time of Zedekiah, Jeremiah gives us this date, which is the same day of the Hebrew year on which World War I came into existence. The end of a world. The Lord is a very exact timekeeper, even though the work of the times and periods is a gradual one. The stone there smote Nebuchadnezzar's image. But someone may say, quoting page 255 of volume 1, when complete, when entirely cut out, it will smite and destroy the kingdoms of this world. The author of those words, on page 5916, bottom of column 2, July 1st, 1916, reprints, wrote, nevertheless, both the king and the kingdom are not only coming, but are here. And the present troubles and shakings in church and state and the general awakening of the people are the results of influences emanating from that king and kingdom. Though men know it not, it is the smiting of, or we might say by, the kingdom of God that is even now preparing for the wreck of all the kingdoms of the earth, that the way may be opened for the establishment of righteousness in the world, that men's hearts may be humbled and prepared for the righteous government which is to take control of earth. But why is the stone not shown as gradually being taken out of the mountain? Did not Jesus say in the 17th chapter of John, twice, They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Didn't he also tell them, ye are not of the world, and say, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you? Centuries before we were born, that is true. Similarly, the sacrifice of the Lord's goat, carrying outside the camp and being burned, began at Pentecost. This continued down through the gospel age, and that too was shown as one sacrifice, even as the taking out of the stone from the mountain was not done piecemeal, but all in one. In Colossians 1:18, Jesus is spoken of as the head of the body, the church. Although the majority of the members of that body down through the age until in 1878, the first resurrection began the restoration from death, followed by the instantaneous change, as in Revelation 14:13, of the dead which die in the Lord. During that long period, most of the body of Christ had not come into it or were asleep in death. And yet Jesus is said to be the head of the body. Similarly, the image was shown intact. The breast and arms of silver did not come up and replace the golden head when Babylon was to have fallen, or to be succeeded by Greece. It was only when smitten by the stone that the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold were broken in pieces. Therefore, we may understand that as the image represents Gentile rule, even though Babylon had centuries ago passed away, when the stone smote the feet of the image, similarly, the stone represents the kingdom of God, which subsequently was to grow, become a great mountain, and fill the whole earth. Furthermore, returning to the thief-like presence, he's still present as a thief to the majority of the world. They know something is going on. The flame of fire of the time of trouble is that which eventually will reveal him. The brethren who started the work of the harvest, as a result of which we are all here today, did not see World War I at that time. And yet, like the Thessalonians, they came to know the times and seasons, as in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, as they did before World War I, as they did again in 1938 when Mr. Chamberlain waved his paper and said peace in our time, and as they will doubtless be doing again before the climax of this time of trouble, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Describing the times and seasons, the author of Volume 1 in the October 1st, 1904 reprints, top of column 2 on page 34, 3:8, and I wish, friends, that all of you would read that article. He writes, we all remember how thrilled we were when first studying. We found that the parallels of dispensation showed that our Lord was due to be present in October 1874 as the exact parallel of the beginning of his ministry and so forth. And how this thrill was intensified when we found the same date was exactly marked by the Jubilee type. That was figured prophetically and typically. And how we almost shouted for joy when we found that Daniel's 1,335 days ended at precisely the same date, and finally, how we repeated over and over the prophet's words, "Oh, the blessedness of him that waiteth and cometh unto the 1,335 days." These are not the only features that indicate the time of our Lord's return. They remind us of the paragraph in Volume 1, Chapter 3, at its close, in which it is said that when Columbus discovered the Orinoco River, someone said he had found an island. "No such river as that," he replied, "flows from an island. That mighty torrent must drain the waters of a continent." And so we can say with respect to the corroboration of the times and seasons in the Bible, that mutually support one another and will be very useful when again they say peace and safety. First chapter of Volume 6, and this is also set forth in the little creation booklet, which is available on the book table out there, gives us another time period based on the Jubilee type, it is true, but corroborating the time of our Lord's return. This we'll only quote in part, condensed. 6,000 years past and 1,000 years future, 7,000 years of Jehovah's rest will carry us to the time when the sun's millennial reign shall cease. Then the sun shall deliver up the kingdom to God. This is the length of this seventh epoch day that furnishes us the clue to the length of all the other epoch days of this creative week, and the whole period of 7 times 7,000 years, or 49,000 years, when complete, will lead up to and introduce the great 50th, when there shall be no more sighing, no more crying, and no more dying, because God's work of creation shall then have been completed so far as this earth is concerned. This refers to the rest during the seventh day, the seventh creative day, when his work of creation was finished with bringing into existence Adam and Eve, and which still continues because we are invited to enter into that rest, while the Son, who said, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work," completes the creative week. 48,000 years, or 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, and it could not have been much later that Eve was created, and at the beginning of 1873, We are now more than 90 years past that time. If the 49,000 years, the 7,000 of this creative day, the final creative day, has not yet begun, it would have to be extended into the 50th. The 49th is also a sabbatic year in the type, as well as the 50th. And so we have many corroborations of the times in which we are living. In the second chapter of Revelation, verses 26 and 27, the promises made to him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall shepherd them with an iron rod, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, as the King James reading is. Even as I received of my Father. This refers back to the second Psalm, where the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing, set themselves against the Lord and His anointed. Yet, the psalmist says, speaking for our Heavenly Father, have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them, or rule them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt break them in pieces like a potter's vessel. And then in the 11th chapter of Revelation, 15th verse, the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the proclamation is the kingdom of this world, Sinaitic rendering, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And then in the 18th verse, the statement is made, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, or came. And then it goes on to say, in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And this brings us to the final phase of the reign, which will occupy by far the major portion of it, the individual judgment and perdition of ungodly men. At that time, they will have been judged as nations in respect to their institutions, civil, social, and ecclesiastic. But the individual judgment and the negotiating of the covenant between God and Israel, under which by becoming proselytes at the gate, all nations shall be blessed, awaits the release of the merit imputed to the body of Christ and the great multitude, that it may be used in purchasing from under the first condemnation the entire world of mankind, in order that they may be judged individually. The Christ, head and body, occupy the position of mediator of this new covenant. The saints, as in 1 Corinthians 6:2, join with Jesus in judging the world as all His holy messengers. Jesus is also the King, and they reign with Him 1,000 years, as typified by Melchizedek. A judge tries and sentences. A mediator mediates. A king rules. A priest blesses and teaches. and they are to be kings and priests. But we must not mix these figures. Neither do the exercise of these offices take place simultaneously. The office of mediating, while Jesus is even now the mediator between God and man, the work of that office does not take place until the members of his body are with him. We speak of mediatorial kingdom, but actually it is a mediator who mediates, even though, as in Melchizedek, the office of king and priest, and as in the case of Moses, the office of mediator, are blended. Moses was never a king. He was accused of making himself a prince over them. Our Lord was not a priest after the order of Aaron. The kingly picture is only pictured in connection with the priesthood in Melchizedek. And so then, all nations shall be blessed. What should be our attitude toward those who disagree with us on these things, and their attitude toward us? Shall we add to the reproaches of the members of the Lord's goat who are being consumed without the camp? No. Rather, let us seek the Lord's grace that we may bear with patience all the reproaches that may be permitted to come upon us outside the camp, and thus we shall manifest that we have grown up, have matured in Christ, into Christ. And so, while we continue in the things that we have learned, let us remember this commandment which Brother Poe just spoke, that ye love one another even as I have loved you.
Thank you, Brother Loomis, very much for your ministry. We have an announcement here. Parents are reminded that their children are their responsibility. Children should be warned about playing in the elevators at Rabb Hall. One elevator has been broken as a result of the children playing with the elevator controls. Let us sing the doxology, 2, 3, 4. We'll rise. 2, 3, 4. we'll close with prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. May thy kingdom come. May it be established in all the earth. And thy will be done in earth, even as in heaven. Hear, O hear our supplication. By thy Spirit, God of peace, rest upon this congregation with the fullness of thy grace. In the name and merit of our dear Redeemer, for whom especially we thank thee, we render our thanks and ask these favors. Amen.